Scenes from a Marriage.
Whew.
We should do that at the same time.
At the same time.
Wow. Mm-hmm. The collective sigh.
Yeah. And it's more of an, it's more active than a sigh. It's like, oh, God, okay.
Yes, you're right. It is.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. It's Monday morning. Way to start.
I just want you to know I poured a second cup of coffee for this. And if I could have put something in the coffee, I would have. But I'm just going to stick with the caffeine since it's 9 a.m. here.
Yeah. So I watched last night, as did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
I did.
And then I actually needed to. Sometimes 9 Perfect Strangers I watch in the morning and we record immediately, so it's all fresh. I felt like I was going to need the night to sleep on this one, and I think I was right. It is
heavy.
It's heavy. Although I will say, don't come to this show not expecting heavy. I know it's a remake, but it's also a remake that's done by Hagai Levy, who is known for In Treatment.
The Affair.
Yeah. You knew that this was going to be two things from, I knew, gender bending and deep. And deep, I mean, he, In Treatment says it all, but he is big into psychotherapy and having his characters understanding what they're doing. And not only just understanding those motivations to write a character, but he's having them delve into their own psychotherapy on the shows. And these are very introspective shows. This, you know, The Affair was, In Treatment, this one. So I kind of knew that was coming, but still.
I mean, you're right. You know what you're in for. And you know where
well,
it's going.
And we know, right. It's the dissolution of a marriage or the breaking apart, the unraveling, the falling apart of a marriage. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that I guess is going to be heavy, but I don't know. I think of like When a Man Loves a Woman is about a couple completely imploding and falling apart. But for some reason, I don't know. It is pretty heavy, but I guess it's hopeful.
You're
at the
right.
End.
It's the psychological element that he is into. That to me is the mind hurting part. That's where your brain starts to implode, or at least mine did. And I think yours did too. The questions being raised, the dialogue, the nature of their discussions. I mean, it is really like, oh shit. Like some of these we'll talk about, I mean, but some of the questions raised right out of the gate from this woman that's interviewing them, I'm like, I'm not sure I can answer half these questions if somebody posed them to me.
Well, so what did you think about that? I was not in love with that conceit, the way to start the show as like, oh, I'm a grad student doing a, you know, my thesis, and I really need to interview you on these very specific questions. It felt a little heavy-handed, even for a guy.
Right. No, that's true. You know, honestly, I didn't even think about that in terms of the way that was being brought out. I was just literally hit over the head in the first 5 seconds just by the nature of the question. So to me, now that you are asking it, I'm like, that's a good point. I guess it was maybe a little heavy-handed, but I felt like it was just a way to immediately immerse you in the dynamic between them, because it wasn't even so much the answers to their questions. It was the way they answered them, their body language, like, you know, all of that. So I don't know. I didn't have an issue with the conceit. Because I was so engrossed in the two of them. And so maybe it did work well then, I'm saying, for me. Like I felt like I was immediately in their marriage and each of their heads, even though you're not in their heads, but I felt like I learned a lot about those two and their relationship like right out of the gate.
Absolutely. No, I really agree with that. We were, and it showed so much more than they were even saying. Their body language, the way they sat, the way they got up, the way she was incredibly uncomfortable he was, that was hard to watch.
Yeah, so I think you're right. The psychological element is what's heavy. I also thought, like you just said, the gender, what you call it, gender bending? The gender?
Yeah.
I did not, you know, I like I said, I never saw the original. I'm sure most people did not see the Swedish original of Ingmar Bergman's, I guess, iconic Swedish miniseries. But, you know, I certainly didn't see that. But I did read, of course, that was from the point of view of a male character who deserts his wife and young children, and that when they were trying to do this remake, you know, Haggai was like, you know, he was approached by Bergman's son to do it, and he loves the Bergman and he loves the miniseries, but he thought, well, but he didn't jump on it right away, I read, because he was like, well, that seems a little dated to me. I mean, it hasn't aged particularly well, even though he was really intrigued by the story. And so it took like 2 years. And then finally he said that he had a revelation and that he would just swap the gender roles, and that to have a woman be, you know, the breadwinner, the woman who leaves the marriage in pursuit of freedom. And that he thought was his way into a more sort of fresh take on this. And that was what it really interested me too. And I mean, that dynamic is obviously going to come out a little bit in this first one too, but I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Well, had it maybe versus the other way? I mean, would it have been nearly as interesting? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, it's always the idea is the idea, but the execution is where it,
of course,
it gets made or broke it, makes it or breaks it. But so, you know, as you know, we are watching this, and very specifically, I am watching this really alongside Sex Life on Netflix.
Oh my God, completely.
Which probably know that a sentence that's never been uttered before. But
oh, it's in my notes. So I uttered it to myself too.
Yeah. Besides us, yes. But so there, Billy, quote unquote, has it all. But she has it all in what I think is a very superficial way. Mm-hmm. And so some of the complaints of the show are that Billy on Sex Life has it all, and what's her problem, and she needs to just kind of get over it and whatever. Mm-hmm. But she has it all on a very superficial level. She has a nice house, mm-hmm. a good-looking husband, two kids, a boy and a girl. I mean, it's like it's all the checked boxes that one has when one, quote-unquote, has it all. But to me, Mira actually seems to have it all on a deeper level. She has a partner that is sharing with her, encourages to say not only what she wants to say, but it encourages her to feel.
Yes.
Like, tell me, what are you feeling? Like, really, like, pulls it out of her. And so he's obviously willing to talk to her about other people, about themselves, everything. So any resentments that she might build and carry, we haven't seen it any more than the first episode, but it feels like it might be really truly her own shortcomings, as opposed to Billy, who's maybe sold a bill of goods that lots of bought. People yep. are mm-hmm. actually sold
yep.
that don't ever pan out to be what they're never what one wants them to be. But she actually, Mira actually has those things, the things that do sustain a real marriage and that are actually hard to find often in women, but also truthfully in men. And so if she's going to throw, and I haven't seen any more than the first episode, but if she's going to throw this all away because, I don't know. It's just going to have to be really compelling. It's not going to be the same for me where if I feel like Billy is going after what she wants because she's lacking it in her life, I'm not sure what Mira is
you're
lacking.
Gonna say, what is Mira lacking? Well, something. I mean, she looks depressed.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, just, I guess the thing is, like, even though, yes, I totally agree with you, it appears as if she has it all more, quote unquote, more so than Billy, and in the ways that really matter. But yet, to me, it already seems, and again, we don't know yet enough information, that there is certainly something lacking for her. And I don't know what it is, but you're right. Your only point, I guess, is you hope that it's going to be something that you can then understand why she would do that, like meaning that it'll feel that it isn't just... I gotta believe. Well, who knows? We don't know. But I understand that's your initial hesitation on how it will.
Yeah. Play well, out. And if it's just about gender swapping, I mean, I don't know a ton about the original show, and I obviously haven't seen any more of this one. But then that's where I feel like the loosely held idea of gender swapping isn't going to work for me because
oh, I see.
Then it will. You know, I think it was just a man's general distaste for his life, like that he felt confined by domesticity as it was.
Right, but what if she is?
That's not going to work
here. What if she is? I mean, this is what's interesting to me. That's why I think this is interesting that you're actually putting a woman in a position where that might be her answer.
Right.
I don't know. And isn't that an interesting thing to look at when we particularly in something we haven't really seen that? I mean,
well, I agree. I would love that. I just hope then the result isn't that she's blaming him, because that would you're right. It's totally within her and she just isn't cut out for this life, that's not great. But it is, I mean, it's not, what I mean is it's not great to have realized it this far down the line.
Yeah, I think this is going to be much messier than any of this, because I think there's going to be issues on both sides. Like, do you know what I mean? You're also presupposing that he doesn't, you know, maybe have issues in the marriage too, that it will just be her. I mean, I don't know. I think this is going to get awfully messy.
Well, sides. No, that's a good point. But I just assumed the guy's not happy with his life. He goes and has an affair and then leaves his wife.
Right.
Old trope stuff. Yep. But if they're just reversing that.
Yeah, I think it's
Mira's gonna be not happy with her life. She has an affair and leaves her husband. I mean, that's kind of, I don't know. That's just it's not going to work one for one. I'm hoping these are professionals that have considered these things.
I mean, I also just, when I say I like the gender swap, I mean, I also just, on the very basic level, like the discussion of women as breadwinner, division of labor, that kind of stuff, which they touch on in this interview a little bit. It doesn't get so deep, but, you know, that was very relatable to me. Let me just say that conversation with the woman about how does it really work? How do you guys split it up? I mean, that feels like a conversation that I've been a part of. I mean, with I am her, my husband is him. It's
right.
Very. So to me, like even that, you know, to see on a show being explored is already something more interesting to me than if this had been the other way around.
Yeah. So maybe that's the difference, because I, too, have been the breadwinner. And I don't know. I wasn't sure. I think it was very clear about showing what she will be that she is uncomfortable. I just wasn't sure. And there are so many. I can imagine lots of things that make her uncomfortable about the situation. I just wasn't sure what they were. That's what I'm saying. I guess they haven't planted the seed, and I think I needed a little bit more of the seed of what's to come. Like, what is going on under here? And I will say, I guess if there is any indication of what's to come, it's the idea, or in that first scene, that she is so uncomfortable. And she's really, and when she's uncomfortable, she's really playing very small. She's not talking. She's deferring to him.
Yeah.
That also, I wasn't sure that rang true. Did that feel?
No.
What I was like, that when I'm the breadwinner, or not only when I'm, but even when my husband makes more money than I do, the times I make more money than he does, I'm always the one that is the more, you know, dominating.
Yeah, but that's
of
not
conversation
her.
And
I don't think that's her at all, though. Just because she's the breadwinner, and I think she's deeply uncomfortable with the situation for some reason. And I don't know what it is, but she just doesn't appear to have a dominating personality. Period.
Right, which is what's interesting, because I think to be a dominant woman in business, you have to be that way. So I will be interested to see that play out and explore that, and then be very interested to find those women in real life.
I know, it's true. I guess she does. If he sort of mentions, you know, back in college when he met her, she was, I mean, he doesn't call her a force, but like she was something else. She was dating the rock star. And so that, even to me, I'm like, wait, where is that woman? I mean, now, you know, the way he described her, an actress, and like, you know, just like someone people gravitated to. And like, to your point, she seemed the opposite here. Like, so where did that woman go, and why is she now acting small and deferring to him? And I understand she said in response to that, well, she was in a series of abusive relationships, so she obviously went the other way in choosing him. But still, it seems like there's parts of her, that's where again, with the whole sex life and this discussion of losing your identity after motherhood, has something shifted for her? Like, has she lost part of herself? And that was the only hint to me of like a prior version of her that maybe she suppressed. I don't know. I mean, I'm definitely reaching here, but that was what I thought when I heard that. Like, oh, okay. Because the rest of you is seeming one way. And you're right. She's apparently, he calls her a big shot at work. She's obviously a baller, but you don't see that. And so to me, that's where I'm like, what's going on really here in this dynamic that's making her seem small, as you said?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's her. She's doing it. She is making her. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure why. It's unclear why. Right.
I mean, even, well, now I'm just jumping to the end.
Yeah.
But no, but even in the discussion about when she tells him she's pregnant, I'm just like, I couldn't. She just was like, well, what do you think? And tell me your feelings. And you're right. He's like, no. You tell me how you feel. And so there is something where she has difficulty expressing, I think, herself, or maybe having confidence in her feelings or her emotions. Maybe she's let him, even though she is the breadwinner, as we said, he seems to maybe be leading them in other ways.
More dominant.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing that makes sense. So I hope that's where they're going with it. And again, it definitely is something in herself. But then that, you know, I don't know. Billy, they've set up very specifically to be sexual desire in sex life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she can't go get sexual desire. It is about someone else. This is, and also about what her husband is specifically not giving her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm failing to see that here. Like what, again, I would hope then that she doesn't go and have an affair, that she just needs to be alone, needs to figure herself out. Because everything you're saying rings really true. I guess I'm just knowing that they're setting me up for her having an affair. And I'm like, well, why? What is it that you're going to find in someone else that you are clearly lost?
Right.
That's okay. That's part of life. I think everyone goes through that. I know I have. But her looking for it in an affair will be confusing to me at this point. But
well,
it's a lot of
Right. Yeah, well, it's speculation, but I mean, this is the thing. I know you don't read anything. I mean, like,
oh, yeah,
I so yeah. Like the five. Well, no, there's five total episodes,
okay.
Right? Five scenes, I think so. I think there's only five. I think they've all been released. I don't know if it's one of those where they've released five.
On HBO?
No, to the
critics.
They're all
out?
No, to the critics, is what I was about to say. You know, sometimes, like, that's what I'm trying to remember, whether they've seen them all when they're commenting.
Okay.
Or all, but pretty much they have. So I, again, I'm not, I don't care about spoilers. And I kind of, with this one in particular, I was like, well, I know what happens here. I mean, this isn't like save your marriage story. It's a divorce story.
Yeah.
So that's why I didn't know if I know how you feel about spoilers. But
I don't think this one really has spoilers.
Right. Okay. So, but then the point is they both have affairs. I think he has one. So, I mean, from what I've read. So that's why I don't know if that changes your views on this, but I think there are bigger issues here for both of them in terms of. So my point being, clearly they each, for whatever reasons, which they'll explore through this, are feeling that something is lacking in the marriage.
Well, I know why. Right. But see, I would understand why Isaac would have an affair, right? Because his partner is not really partnering with him. She is not carrying her emotional weight.
Wait. Correct.
So I could see that. But also, and he has it later. I was thinking about her and whatever. If she is feeling like she's lacking something, then she needs to figure that out and find it out and then kind of bring herself back to the marriage. But going to find it in someone else is not, as far as I know, that doesn't really work. Then you just take on whatever role you take on in that relationship, you're not going to find yourself in that same way.
Right. So you're hoping that we see some more about sort of what's going on inside her and her feelings and what are the real issues. It's not just, you know,
and
just
that
going
she's
to
not
act
going
up.
To. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, then hopefully.
Well, so let's talk about some of the things that happened. The first scene I thought went on way too long. And
it's
it was way too long. And then they have the couple over for dinner. Kate and Peter, is that who it is?
Yeah.
I'm like, that was a lot too. They're trying very hard, and I give them credit for this. This is when you're remaking something, making it of the moment is very important. And so it is very clearly of the moment. The very yes. first question is, what are your pronouns? That is very yes. 2020, 2021.
But you already see the difference between them. He's like, gives all of his, and then she's like, she? Like,
what are, yeah.
Like she's what like, are what?
My pronouns?
Though he is a philosophy yeah. professor at Tufts. So, I mean, you know, of right. course, he's probably so he used is to this.
Immersed in that world
right.
of changing and identity politics and what that means for people. And she's like in tech, right?
So, yeah, it's exactly. Very, shows yeah. the differences right out of the gate between them.
Yeah. And the cast is very diverse. So again, you're very modern and updated. And then their guests are coming over and talking about their open marriage, which right. isn't working all that well in the moment. But Kate's like, this is a bump in the road. It's fine. This is the right thing. Mira is not convinced. Although I wonder if that's the seed of what's been planted as well.
Right. Like, but yes, so of the moment.
That, and that one yeah. was a little much, too. I mean, I didn't know that a couple would have that kind of conversation in front of them. It seemed a little...
I guess they're good friends that do know of the situation.
But do you have... So this is the good question for you and not for me. Mm-hmm. Do you have good friends that would come over and have an argument like that in front of you?
Possibly, yes.
Okay, good.
I mean, what I was just going to say is the reason I say possibly is it wouldn't be about that because I don't actually know anyone meaning no one's confided in us, no other couple of open marriage. But would they have that much of a fight? Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah, because then me and my husband, the two litigators, play mediator. Play mediator. Okay. I did it for my parents. I do it for friends. It must be a thing. Like, if people want to fight, apparently they do it in front of us. It's okay. very strange.
Well, yeah. that's like, good to know.
Yeah, it is. And, like, to the point where you would think it would be good friends, you know, that you're really close with. Like, these people seem to be, like, very close and in their lives. We had a couple come once. He's, like, my husband's childhood friend, and I barely knew the wife. I mean, you see them, like, maybe once a year, and... We legit engaged in marriage counseling like at the dinner table for like amazing. An hour and a half. And I was like, okay, I think what she's trying to say is this. Okay, hold on. Now, I think what he's expressing is,
Oh my God, that's amazing. Okay, so good to know. No, I mean, I get it on a singular level. I mean, I've told you, lots of people come to me, people I know well, people I don't know well, and they divulge all sorts of mm-hmm. secrets and want me to be their therapist.
Totally, they do.
Which I'm very happy to do. So
I get thinking more in the couple's context.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in a dinner party, I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, so, we have one couple, they're just like, they fight all the time in front of us. And I'm always, like, to the point where now I yell at the husband.
Oh,
I'm like, you know what? You're being an asshole. You always do this. Stop fucking saying that. You know, stuff like that. And he doesn't even bat an eyelash at me anymore. I'm just like, all right, enough. Like,
I'm going to weigh in on this one.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. But
So then the dinner's over. They have that kind of bizarre kiss, Kate and Mira, which I'm like, I don't
know. Okay, that was weird, but...
Yeah.
But so... Before we go, I just wanted to ask with the questions before we even get to the open marriage people.
Definitely.
I know we thought are a little, maybe a little heavy handed, but were those questions like, were you like, these are probably things you think about. Like you've actually probably thought about a lot of these things. So I was 100%. Thinking, I wonder how this sits with Corinne. Cause she's probably just like the question right out of the gate, how would you define yourself? I'm like, I'm stumped. Yeah. Forget it. I'm Mira. I'm like, Mira's like, what do you even mean? And by the way, Jonathan, right? Oh my God. Yes. Lovely. Thank mm-hmm. you.
Yep.
Jonathan was a little stumped at first, too, just sort of like, just in the way anybody would be like, wait, like, what do you mean? But then he jumps in and gives his answers, and she's just like, like, I'm a woman, I'm married, I'm a mother. Did I say that? I'm a mother? I mean, she repeats herself really defensively. And then, like, how'd you guys meet? Even that shouldn't have been such a difficult question. I don't put that in the category of tough questions, but it seemingly was a little bit for her. But what has made your marriage a success? And then what's your concept of success?
Yeah.
Your attitudes on monogamy, which is another huge theme of sex life as well. But you've thought about all these things. But do you think?
Absolutely.
Of course you have. But and I know that because I know you. But
right.
Do you think that like just like a lot of people, and I mean other people watching, like A, do you think they've thought about these things? And B, if they haven't, do they want to watch this? Like it's so interesting to me because although I haven't asked them all, I'm very interested in it.
Well,
but are people interested in this? Or are they like?
I'm glad you said that. So I think if you do think about it, I thought it was a little. For me, I did not love it.
Yep, because you already thought about it.
This should be in your journal. But if you haven't and you're interested, again, and you have to be coming to the show knowing, or if you're going to get past the first episode, you have to know what a Hagai Levy show is going to be like. And you know it's going to be this kind of in-depth, introspective, tough questions about identity and life and not just, you know, washing dishes.
Right.
So I think if you come to it, then I think it would be interesting. I think most people don't know those answers, but they want to be presented with the questions.
Right,
so that,
okay.
And even if they don't think fully through the answers, it is a little bit of a like a door cracking open, like, huh, how would I answer? What do I think?
Yes, so that's exactly how I felt about it.
Yeah,
and like, so it was very, but I am interested in it. Then I guess I was thinking, then there's the people who never ask these questions and just don't care. But then I guess maybe they're just not
and
watching
the show.
And
those people will turn it off. Yes.
Yeah, right? Okay.
Or will turn it off. They probably did not make it through the first scene.
Yeah, they'd be like, that's what I was thinking. Like, so, okay. I mean, because I was like, I could just picture the people who I just consider to be like, yeah, everything's fine. I'm good. I'm happy. Like, and they probably are because they've never thought whether they are or aren't. And so for them, they'd be like, what are you even talking? What is all this shit? Like, I'm not even interested in this. Yeah. Okay. But they're just shutting. They're just clicking to a different channel then probably.
I think so.
And they're probably not listening to this because.
No, they're definitely not. Although unless they're like, what was with that ridiculous show?
Right.
Okay. I really loved his answer.
I know.
I actually liked hers too. Obviously she could speak a little more candidly for whatever reason when he wasn't there. Although she wasn't more bold. She was just a little bit more candid.
But I wondered, what she thought of his answer. He said it's about what makes a marriage successful. And he said it's a means, not an end. A platform that allows us to develop as individuals. Our partnership gives us a safe ground to do that, to raise a daughter and have a family. And I was like, Corinne is going to like that answer, I think.
Yeah,
you like that answer, right?
I know you did.
I'm not saying I didn't like it, but I felt like, I don't know. It had just come after his rant about, you know, consumer culture and irrational expectations of marriage.
I agree.
And so I was a little bit like, okay, dude. But
I agree. I did not like that part of it. But I did like this idea that it's a platform.
Yeah.
I mean, I have always thought that like the most important part of marriage is the growth you get out of it. And I feel like most people get married and stop growing. And it's like, I've landed on my partner and they grow again in those superficial, surface ways. They buy a house, they have children, but they stop like looking at themselves and trying to stretch and trying to grow. They just kind of stay stuck. And that is a big problem. And that is absolutely something that my husband and I have not done. And like, take very
seriously,
you know, take pains and take pains to do is to keep growing and pushing each other. And
but you have to be, and that's what I liked about this, it has to be in the confines of trust and safety, you know. Our partnership
absolutely
gives us a safe ground to do that, you know. So I did like that. And then hers was, she thinks of it in terms of equilibrium,
which I also liked.
Yes, but you're right. Her answer, it just, again, the way she gave it, it's almost like she didn't believe it, or she was just like, didn't say it, I guess, as you said,
well,
with any sort of
what I read into it was that she's going to say, or that what will come out is that he is not upholding his part of the equilibrium. And that I'm just very curious, because in this first scene, I see it the opposite. I see it as her not carrying her emotional weight.
And she says, like in the beginning, everything's new and exciting and you think nothing can hurt you. Then you realize anything can hurt you. And so that's where I thought,
that.
Oh, yeah, this is, Well, we know they're both going to get hurt. I mean, there's going to be hurt all around, but it's interesting. So I thought, I just wanted to get your thoughts a little bit on some of those questions.
I did love that. I loved her answer too. I really did. And it also reminds me again of Sex Life, Billy, how she doesn't listen to what her husband's talking about at work and doesn't, mm-hmm. she's not putting in the emotional investment. And I get that it's not one for one. He wants an emotional investment. She wants a physical one, but neither of them are doing the work that they need to be doing to like, you know, have those things. And I guess it's what you're saying, like a safe place for both of you to be able to stretch and grow, because it does have to be really safe and secure. And a safe
place to express yourself. And I think you'll find with Billy, I mean, I'm not a huge Cooper fan, but her husband, but throughout the show, but you know, she doesn't ever, she's upset with him for not, you know, giving her certain things, but she also kind of has hidden parts of herself. So, because she wanted to kind of be wife material, or what she thought women should be. And she wanted to be the woman who had kids and was married and lived in this, you know, whatever. Mm. And now she's kind of pissed that he doesn't get denied. That she has this, you know, other side to her, this like very sexual, very passionate. Well, he also didn't really know that, because you didn't tell him that, and you haven't expressed it, and now, you know, because maybe you didn't feel like you could, but you also knowingly sort of chose not to reveal those aspects of yourself, and now you're sort of mad that he isn't satisfying those, you know. So
I don't know, I was more concerned with, and I'll keep watching it, but I was more concerned with her not listening to him. I'm like, well, he's not going to listen to you, and I guess she's not going to say the things that she needs to say if she's not listening to him and taking, you know, care with what he says. It's just, it's not, the dynamic is not flowing a safe space. But but so contrast that with what I think I'm seeing in the first episode of Scenes from a Marriage. I don't know how that's going to break down. Maybe it's something in the past, something that's already happened, and she's not letting go of, and also not communicating. Right. I mean, communication is the biggest
issue. That's the thing. The communication is going to be, it's going to be a big issue in sex life. It's the big issue in relationships. And then this Kate and Peter, just on that, you know, another sex life comparison a little bit. Now, open marriage is not the main point at all of Sex Life, but you know, it is an issue that gets raised at the end. And you know, we just were talking about it, some women and I who watched it, and about, does that really work? You know, that, what are some of the pitfalls? And I thought that this scene or series of scenes with this couple really did a good job of sort of it painting the good and the bad of this. Why, I think a lot of people would be like, why would anyone ever do this? You know, if you hear
but Mira is kind of like, it's not working out.
It's not, but you know, again, not really something you see on a show often being described in this way. I mean, I think if you mention this to people, everyone just has like sort of a very strong view on what like open marriage. And yet, you know, you learn that this, you know, Mira thinks it was just some justification for her husband's cheating, but his wife is saying, well, you know what? It's basically the thing that's keeping our marriage alive, you know, and that it comes with a price, Mira says, but her friend is saying, you know, it's a price, at least as of now, that she's willing to pay. And now maybe she's, you could say she's defensive and just sort of justifying it herself, but she also said, you know, she went 3 years without sex with her husband, and then once they started this, she's never wanted to, she says, I've never wanted to fuck Peter so badly as when I was with the other guy. So to her, the arrangement in a way has saved her marriage now. But I like Mira pushing back, and I like that through this scene, you really do see, you know, a little bit more about why someone might do it, what some of the pitfalls are, what some of the positives are.
There was much more of a discussion about it than we're ever used to seeing. And a you know, defense and an attack. An attack in the way of like opening up, this is the other side of it, this is what you're not seeing.
And when she said with the other, I mean, but of course, you know, it's interesting because this is always a question people have about it. Well, what if someone falls in love? You know, right. It's one thing to say, okay, you go out and you can get the sex part fulfilled elsewhere and keep your union or your partnership. But, you know, the husband is going, well, basically, like, I just sleep with these women. You're the one that fell in love, you know, and she is now going through a breakup with the boyfriend and is mad that her husband is not being more sympathetic to it.
Yeah.
And you just see what a mess that can ensue from this, yeah. right? And that part came first, right? That's at the beginning of the dinner. But then once she goes upstairs with Mira, you actually get more of the, again, why they might do this and more of the flip side, at least.
Yes.
But
it seems like a lot of work. I've right? always thought that about polyamory. I know
you said that. I know.
It seems like so much work. You have to communicate above and beyond what it takes to have a normal functioning relationship, which is already a higher level than most people can operate on. Mm-hmm. And so then you have to go beyond that to keep that trust, even when you're bringing emotions and conversations and physical intimacy to another party. It's a lot.
Yeah.
I just look at them like, oh, that's so exhausting.
And it's so interesting too, though, because apparently they work together in business and are killing it and are such a good team, you know, because Jonathan's like complimenting them, like, you guys are so good together. And then you realize, you know, also the stuff about, this is very relatable to me, how the husband, Peter, keeps, you know, being positive and chipper, and she's right. like, what the fuck, I'm supposed to sit here and pretend that everything's fine, you know, while this, and then upstairs she's like, that phony chipper thing he does makes me want to strangle him, and like and you know, she's like, you care more about what they think of you than what I'm going through. And so he's clearly the one that's very much about appearances.
Yes.
And she's fucking had it. And you know, my husband definitely cares more about appearances than I do. And he definitely can put on like this, like chipper, like always right. positive, and like fucking drives me crazy. Like,
right.
I'd be much more likely to fucking tell a whole dinner party the real truth right. of anything, you know, than
right. yes.
I
yes.
just can't with the, I mean, obviously in some circumstances.
Which is so interesting because that is a Leo trait, though, is to put the face on, to always yeah. have the.
I mean,
that's so many of the things is like getting past that is the first part of like breaking through the surface layer of a Leo.
Right. Yeah, well, clearly I can do it. You know me.
Right.
Let's
yes.
be honest. Yeah. Yes, I can. Yes, yes. So yeah. Maybe.
Maybe you set a point in your life when you're not interested in that.
Exactly.
It feels like there's a lot of that going on. And so,
exactly. And then yeah. I love afterwards when they leave and the two of them, meaning now back to Mira and Jonathan, are brushing their teeth next to each other, that mm-hmm. sequence of just like the routine bedtime yeah. ritual uh-huh. I thought was so good, just watching yeah. them, how they hand the toothpaste, you put the thing, you know,
yeah,
get into bed,
yeah,
you know.
But what I loved and what I thought was unique was that they were talking about real
yes.
things.
Yes.
It wasn't like, oh, what time's pickup, you know, do you know,
well, the deep first they were doing the debrief yeah. kind of on what had just happened with them.
But
which,
deeply, not yeah. again, like, oh, you know, they were like, oh, she drinks too much. She always drinks too much. I mean, they weren't just like,
right.
oh,
like
the chicken was dry, you know?
Yes.
Like, not,
yes.
This
no,
was
totally.
Like, it was like a mini therapist download after their dinner party. So again, these are people that are not mailing it in when it comes to communication. They are really digging into things.
Yes, but I say yes with hesitation because I feel as if she's holding back, which I think is what you're getting at too. Like she
yeah.
she seems I in each conversation I feel as if there's more she wants to say or there's more she's thinking, and for some reason she's not.
Yeah. Yeah, oh absolutely. She is definitely. And I think she just doesn't know. And I think the very next scene when they're in the bed and she says she's pregnant is the most indicative of it. She doesn't know yeah. what she wants. She doesn't know how she feels. And that is on her. And that is why I'm going to have trouble with if it's just her acting out based on her own shit, then I don't love that. But we'll
right.
see.
Yeah, and there at least I felt like, yes, I totally agree. She doesn't know what she wants. She's very ambivalent, as he pointed out, about the whole thing and is asking how he feels. But then when she gets into the discussion of when her first child was born and sort of the I'm calling it PTSD. That's not what she called it, but
yeah,
how awful.
That's how it feels.
Yeah. I mean, she says it was a nightmare for both of them, and they're sort of describing those first 2 years and what it did to them and the toll it took on their marriage. And I think that
right. Again, and she says, "I was terrible to you."
Yes, I was. I awful appreciated to you. Too. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. There, I felt like she was actually, you know, kind of getting vulnerable and a little. We were. I was understanding a little bit more about her and what she was going through. And again, this theme of sex life too, about what motherhood does to relationships and the dynamics between them. And here though, it did seem like, you know, that they've talked about it, that they made it through that, you know, that right. they both, you know, like you said, I was awful to you. You get the sense that this isn't the first time they've talked about it, that no. they, and she's like, it took so long to feel like myself again. And she said, I finally returned to my life, which is something I really totally related to. Like
me too. That's why I had my kids like 5 seconds apart, because I was like, if I get too far out of this, I'm not going to be able to go back. And
yeah and she's like, I feel so guilty, you know. She was being open there, and then she said this line which I thought was so good: it's painful wanting something and not wanting it at the same time.
Oh yeah, I loved that line.
Yeah, so yeah. I like that, where I was getting a little more inside her, I felt like.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
yeah.
But I was like, seriously, are you guys just going to have a baby based on this conversation?
I feel inside her head. I just don't understand how what she's feeling relates to Jonathan.
What she's yeah.
That's my only concern. And that is, I totally see exactly what she's going through, and I can relate to so much of it. I just don't know what yet it has to do with him. And maybe it, I don't know, maybe it won't have anything to do with
him. Maybe it's just
but.
That she can't, I mean, do we think, I mean, in this moment, she does seem to be able to tell him how she felt, and it does sound like something they've discussed before, but yes. I feel like based on the other interactions between them, that maybe there is a lot she hasn't really
shared, I mean,
with him.
Well, yes, and this is also something I can relate to, that I need to process things. I can't just have a conversation. I'm not a logical person. My emotions and my logic don't naturally coincide. I need to place one over the other. And I do that because I am a logical person in my brain. But like, so when she takes the pill and she's going to terminate the pregnancy, and she's like, I need a minute. She asks him to leave the room because she can't break down in front of him. I could relate to that. I need a minute to let my emotions take over, even though she knows she made the right decision. This is the decision she wanted. This is the decision they wanted. They had a conversation. It seems she's kind of leading that he would have gone maybe and had the baby too. That's the sense I get. Mm-hmm. But he's also supportive of what she, you know, she's the one who has to carry the baby. She's the one who has a lot of that responsibility physically that a man just doesn't. So he seems supportive. And I still understood that she was like, I need you to leave the room. I need to be alone for a minute. And she just utterly breaks down. Yeah. I get all that. Yeah. I get all that. But that's still something you can share later. You know, that is something that you can...
Unless she, for whatever reason, and he's clearly done nothing wrong, so to speak. Right. To deserve this, what I'm about to say, but for whatever reason, again, given whatever their dynamic is between the two of them, she might not feel able to share it with him. And then that's a disconnect that you can't, even though he is doing, you know, and trying and say, you know, he's there to hear it. But if she doesn't feel, again, maybe the safe space to tell him, then that's going to not be anybody's fault, but the relationship between the two of them.
Oh,
well,
that's so
I know.
Interesting.
That's
no,
not.
I,
yeah.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know.
No, you think that for whatever reason, if she can't, then what?
Listen,
to me is the dynamic between two people.
That I understand in theory. I don't understand it for Mira and Jonathan. I totally understand that in theory, that there is a husband who doesn't hear what she's really trying to say, or, you know, rejects it, or always
tries to. No, he is hearing it. Oh, he is. But for whatever reason, even though he is open to hearing it, for whatever reason, she just doesn't feel able to communicate in that way to him
I don't know.
I don't. That's just like,
because we have seen her communicate. We've seen her communicate really vulnerable things to
but
him.
All I hear, see, to me, I watch that and think, I just think there's so many things she's not communicating. I think that she must not be able to with him.
Yeah. Oh, well, see, I don't know. Even though maybe I'm projecting too much of my own stuff. I am very much like that. And I am, but it has nothing to do with my husband. And I need time. I need to process it myself. I can relate to a lot of that. It
but
just
then
doesn't have
you will is what you're saying.
Yeah, but it doesn't. My need to do that, my fears, my whatever trauma, whatever it is that makes me that way, is about me.
Yes,
but there isn't a person.
Ultimately, do with him.
Yeah,
don't you?
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I think she does too. It seems that she does because she's talked about the first 2 years and how hard that was, and she's even accepting some blame on that, and you know, that they've
only
been
in that one conversation to me. But you're right; it was only a 1 hour episode, so we don't have a lot to go with. Yeah. But yes, in that one scene, it does look like she did. But even that, there are moments. But I feel as if there's something. There's a disconnect. I don't know.
Right. I think it's her. I think it's her. The disconnect is in her. And
I don't know.
Do you relate to that? Maybe it's
completely. No, I completely relate to that. That it's not like just that for whatever reason, even though that person, he's not dismissive and he is, that. But like you could say all that, but if you don't feel like that's a person you can share things with, it doesn't matter what they do. I mean, to me, that's just the dynamic between those two people, and just but I understand she's the one that can't communicate. But I also hate to say it's on one person or the other. I always just think between two people.
I do know that there are husbands that won't, and I assume wives too. I'm seeing it in Billy in the first episode of Sex Life, like, that they don't create a space that you can share.
And he is.
I'm not saying it's not ever the other person's fault. A communication is a two-way street. I absolutely agree. But when it doesn't get out of the parking lot, then that person's problem.
What if he creates the space? You're saying, so he creates a space and she still can't. That's her problem. See, I also just hate to point at one person or the other.
Yeah, well,
because one person could do everything right. Like you're saying, he's doing all the things he's supposed to do. And the interplay between those two is such that it's still not making her feel comfortable enough to say something to him. And it does nothing to do with what he did. So I know then your answer. So it's her. But I don't know how I feel about myself.
I feel like that is something that I
see. And I very much go, well, this is just how the two, this is just how we interact. Yeah. Maybe it's like the, oh my God, it's not like, I was going to say like this, my scales of justice, my Libra. I don't know. I don't like blame.
Well, I think maybe it's responsibility, but I don't think of it as blame. I'm not blaming myself. I do not blame myself. I am who I am. And I'm grateful that my husband understands that and supports that and lets me be who I am. But I also want to be in a loving and supportive communicative relationship, and that takes a lot of work for me as a human being, and that has nothing to do with who I'm with.
So then when he has the affair, what are we? Well, I guess we would get to that if we do it. Like, so then,
I don't know he has an affair. I really think she has the affair. I don't know. I haven't seen anything about him having an affair. But does he have an affair? Because
he has it first, actually. But
wow, I mean, that would not be gender swapping. The original.
See. Well, just the concept of they've just changed the main roles. That's the gender swap. You're saying, though, there are lots of ways in which they're maybe not, you know, switching the whole trope, but just the premise has now changed.
I thought the premise was a person's unhappy.
Just the male character.
And they have an affair.
The main character. I'm just saying that the main character now that has the affair, you're saying, all right, is then why? Well, it is gender swap. What if they both do? I guess they've just changed the. Well, I don't know what happened in the old one, but presumably it was just the man who had the affair. But now they both are.
Yes.
He definitely is. I mean, I don't know. I mean, according to the episodes listed on Wikipedia, and I mean,
oh, it's on
Wikipedia. They give summaries of each episode.
And what does it say?
It says he reveals to Marianne that he's having an affair with a much younger woman. He wants a separation.
To Marianne? No.
Right. Oh, so maybe that's in the original?
Yeah. That's because then she's going to have an affair with a much younger man.
I see. Okay. So that's from the original.
Yeah. That's the got original. It. The man got it. Is unhappy with his happy life with for no discernible reason. Okay. He has an affair with a younger woman.
Right. So that's what your concern is. If it's just literally now she does the exact same thing. Yeah. But even that. But so I understand you won't like it if it's just that one for one type thing, even though even that is something we don't see very often.
What is the one for one?
Meaning if they just switch it and now it's just like they replace the man with a woman having an affair with a younger person, then that's less interesting.
Because that's the affair. I loved the affair.
Right.
I thought, especially the first few seasons were so incredible, and the last one very, very strong around that theory of like women still have desires and they have needs, physical and emotional, and that they're kind of tethered together, and you can't just be like, oh, it's okay, we don't have sex because we have everything else. And so I thought that dealt with this 100%. But what I'm saying is Mira has a really emotionally supportive, present husband that is willing to work things out with her, encourages to feel what she feels, like all of those things that
presumably she's just not into him just because he has all those things. I mean, there's a chemistry factor too.
Oh,
they look awkward together to me. I'm less like,
man,
they look so awkward to me.
Oh, I didn't think so. But maybe I'm just imagining the Venice.
Listen, the two of them together are fantastic.
Right.
And I know they've been friends forever, but I did not feel that heat at all when I watched it. I thought I was going to, because that's how it was being billed, but at least not in this one. I'm like, it was so awkward to me between the two of them. Like, I don't even think I could picture them having sex. That's how awkward it was to me. I mean, so to me, I'm watching this going like,
No. Listen, Kate, you're really not, you're mixing up so many different things. I completely agree. If someone's not into someone, they should not pretend that they are because they're married. Right.
I know.
They've been together for 10 years. They have a 4-year-old. I mean, it's not, I don't know how they end. I don't imagine that this is how she's always felt. And now in 10 years later, she's just realizing it. I don't know how that works.
A lot, Corinne.
I guess.
What do you mean? She was, of all, 2 years of her life, it sounded like, were a complete wash. She was in, they were in utter turmoil. So you gotta back out that time.
I guess, yes. No, that's true.
It sounds like that was pretty bad. And then, you know, she makes that comment in the beginning that, like, now with work, like, she's still being punished for her maternity leave and they're going public. And so she's working like crazy. I mean, I think people can, I know this wouldn't happen to you, but people who already maybe are not sort of asking themselves
questions. Yeah, but I can see how it happens to Billy, right? She was so checked out. She checked all the boxes and was like, I have my perfect life. But I don't see that that's what's happened between these two. And maybe it's only 1 hour and there's more to come. But I don't see how it could happen to these two, the way they're setting it up.
I just don't think I see enough to know that yet.
Yeah. But I mean,
it's just he's not obviously, which is why I think it's nuanced and complicated. You're right. It's not the obvious situation of like, he's a jerk. He wasn't listening. He's not giving her space for her feelings. Yeah. Then you're right. But so this is what's interesting here. I mean, he definitely is, at least you're right, seemingly creating this environment. But you can clearly see that it's still something missing. So I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping.
But what I think is missing is that she doesn't know who she is anymore and she doesn't know what she wants. And that is also valid. But that is her identity crisis. And I've had those. I've never blamed my marriage for them. They are mine. I need to deal with them. And hopefully I can do it with the support or the space or the ability to have a conversation with my husband. But really, because it's really about me and I need to figure that shit out. And I can talk to him about it until I'm blue in the face, but until I figure it out, it's on me.
Right.
So that's why, where I'm okay. like, I'm afraid they're mixing apples and oranges. That's right, the only problem.
Right. Is that nice. She will just not, there will be no discussion blame of her that husband. Aspect and we'll just yeah. blame him. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yes. yeah. Well, I guess she could have the affair and also have this greater discussion of her own issues and wants and without blaming him.
She could.
It's possible.
She could.
Hopefully
absolutely.
That's the route it goes.
Yeah.
Where it's, which I would
although
like.
Because the
like
affair
said,
is any indication that will not be what happens.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's exploring a new avenue. This
time. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know.
We'll see.
Maybe he's
we'll
looking
see.
To have the a little bit of a different twist. But yeah. No, I think that would be how we would both like it to go. Like to see those aspects explored.
That it's about her identity.
Yeah, more of yeah. her. Yes, because that's, yeah. I mean, that's what
because
we like
then,
about Billy.
Yeah, this is what I'm afraid of, is that it's just by gender swapping. You and I said this before we started recording, but Billy is being, in Sex Life, is being very much set up as the heroine. Like, she is going to, she knows what she wants. By God, now she does. She regrets that she didn't know it or denied it for so long. And then she's going to go out and get what she wants and needs. And that I'm like cheering for her. I'm cheering right. for her. This right. one, Mira is being set up as the villain. And in that way, I don't mean someone who cheats. I mean, that's not a great thing, but I don't think that is the villain aspect of her. The villain to me is taking something that you should take responsibility for and blaming someone else for it, such that it's the easy way out. The easy way, what fixes all my problems is to then find another person. And that doesn't, wherever you go, there you are. Because if she doesn't do those things.
Yeah, she's stuck with herself,
that's
no
frankly,
matter what.
And you and I have had many conversations yes. spurred on by Sex Life about this. Like, this is the old trope of a man having a midlife crisis, and instead of really delving into going to see a therapist, figuring out what it's about, getting his identity yes. straight, he buys a red sports car and finds a younger woman. And well, if that's right. all they've done, then that's
but,
not going to work.
I know, but don't you just have to at least hope that, again, because of who did this,
of
and
course.
As you point out in the beginning, since he's so into the psychological aspects.
Of course. That, I'm just saying
that hopefully
that if that's what they did, then right. I don't think it's going to work, because I would think they would have to stay relatively true to, I think it's enough, or that someone might have perceived it was enough to switch the genders and have, let's just have her have the midlife
yeah, no,
crisis and
it.
Go cheat with a younger man and run yes. off. And That's not the
right.
kind of nuance. I would have rather right. them stay with the genders and then have it be more nuanced in what happens and what it
well,
really means to
that's
have.
That's interesting.
I want to see
the man
have a midlife crisis.
Go through the psychological aspect.
Yes.
Yeah, have it and deal with that. That you never see on a show.
Never. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, but although, you know, yeah. he
my
could
husband
still.
Would say The Sopranos and Mad Men, that's actually what they're... Or Walter White in Breaking Bad, that's actually what they're doing, is
they're, yeah.
having their midlife crisis and
well,
really psychoanalyzing.
Tony does see a shrink.
It.
I yeah. mean, he is psychoanalyzing
yeah.
it. So,
yeah. yeah.
But he's psychoanalyzing so much of his life. It's not
yes.
just because he had an affair.
Well, that's
I mean,
always the way
yeah.
it is.
I
mean,
that's
I know. What the person
no, I know.
That's having the
but,
identity crisis needs to do is psychoanalyze right. all of those parts of their lives.
Right. But I guess, yeah, the him having an affair wasn't the focus in The Sopranos. But yes. I
No, and that's what I think. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
Right.
An identity crisis is different from an affair.
Goes,
and that's
yeah.
where, and that's where the old trope, I think, doesn't work.
Right. So hopefully she is not just going to have the affair. We're going to see more of her going
okay, but
through.
If she does, do you have an issue with that? Like, in the way I'm saying.
I got to see
Or you
it.
Think that
I wouldn't,
will be
I wouldn't lay my marker down now before I see it. I
revolutionary.
I mean, if it, because it's too hard to say. Like, there might be some other nuances. There might be something else that makes it a little bit different than the normal
okay,
trope.
But
I don't know. I guess
so
it was just
talk,
straight up. She
yes.
just... goes like her equivalent of a red sports
like the way
car,
men used
guy.
To be
yeah
right
well,
the way
then
they didn't look inside right. themselves. They were like, I'm not happy, I'm not exactly sure what it is, I can't change my job because it's good and stable, I can't change mm-hmm. my house and my kids because
yep.
they're already here, so I'm just gonna leave my wife. And that I think
right.
that was the old trope. And that a woman doing that, do you feel sympathetic towards just because
oh.
a woman is doing it?
No, I don't feel sympathetic towards her. I think it's definitely not as interesting as if they would do the larger psychological context. But
yeah.
I think you could say just the fact of having the role switched is unusual for TV.
Maybe that's still 10 years
something.
Ago.
But I still, yeah. Well, how many shows really? I mean, but I guess, yeah, it's
The Affair.
It would be.
How many do we need?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've had a million of the other tropes. So,
well,
I mean,
there's only three really good ones. But yeah.
It's life. Yeah. I mean,
It doesn't feel life changing in and of itself. I really do hope that they add some other element in it.
Yes, it would. It's definitely less interesting. Just like we don't really want to watch just a man do that anymore.
Right.
And that we all sort of wanted to get into sort of what's in their heads and the psychology and the growth and all that. So
exactly.
Hopefully that's what we're going to get.
We'll see. Anything else? I mean, this felt like Sally Rooney-ish, right? Like a very cerebral, very academic.
Yes.
Right?
I know.
Like, let's have these big discussions.
Right. And it's so funny that we keep juxtaposing it with Sex Life, because you really, that show is being billed as like a guilty pleasure, like soft porn, like, you know, didn't get very good reviews. And yet, I mean, it really does get you talking about many of the exact same issues. So it's fascinating to me that you know, you can make a show where you end up having these kind of big questions discussed that isn't so intense and Sally Rooney or like this show. So I love that you can get that. And that's kind of our point all along. Like, we can have real conversations about rom-coms.
Right.
I mean, this stuff. Now, this one is serious and cerebral, but we like this too. But, you know, if you're going to get us thinking about things that are interesting like this and it's entertainment, I'll take it, you know.
Yeah, I see, but I have a higher expectation for something like this, because I expect that they will have built in so much more nuance, and that they're going to take all the tropes and not just flip them, but go so much deeper. Whereas Sex Life, I'm just appreciative of, you know, it's like a spoonful of sugar with your medicine, right? It's like, watch this softcore porn, but think about your life. Are you denying? What are you? So they are doing different things.
Definitely.
They are.
Yeah. I like to have the sugar with your medicine. That is so good. It's true.
Right. You know, think about these deeper things. But here I'm already coming to the table going, I'm ready. I am pumped.
Well, please.
The healing
like you said,
begin.
This opening scene, it feels as if you're, okay, I'm in it. Oh, shit. We're going to talk about serious stuff. Here we go.
So it better keep going deeper. We'll see.
Yes.
So what do you think? Will you watch?
I will watch. I will definitely watch.
This is one I wish they had. This is one I wish I could binge, because I'm not sure it's worth it for me to like keep paying attention week after week.
Well, there's only five, so I feel like the next one's going to be a big... I will definitely watch the next one.
Yes.
And then see. I love Jessica Chastain and Oscar Isaac together. They're really good friends since Juilliard. I've read a bunch of articles. I mean, obviously, after the Venice Film Festival and the interaction
viral
between
clip.
Them, there was a lot of buzz. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that they had been friends since college, that they... are like really, really close. And that's an added element that I like to it. Of seeing them together. So we'll see. I love Oscar Isaac. I don't know
why. I do too. I love them both.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I'll definitely watch the next one.
I will say, if I had stopped halfway through, I might not have watched the next one. The second half of this.
Half.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the really panic. Got me.
It was called
really
Innocence and Panic. I felt like from the panic on, you were.
And were you shocked? So, basic plot question: I was shocked when he was late to the exam room.
Yeah.
And what was happening was she was terminating it, because they had just hugged in the bed and said, "We can make this work,
and we can do it."
Yeah, and then
shocked.
All of a sudden,
I thought they were going in. They were going to be like a sonogram.
Right. And this was the first sonogram or the gender reveal, whatever it was. And
but I guess we should have known. I mean, maybe not. I know this is a story, as we said, about the dissolution of a marriage. So I didn't think it was about having another kid, unless I thought maybe she would lose the baby and that would cause a rift between them.
I mean,
but this
kids...
is going to cause a, I think this is a turning point too for what's going to cause a rift between them.
Yeah. I mean, riffs are riffs. I think they're to be expected. I mean, why did I just bring this up again? I wrote a New York Times essay about my husband and I not being on the same page about wanting to have more kids. That caused a major rift in our marriage. Yeah. It is not something you can, having a child is not something you can easily, there's no compromise. None.
Yeah.
It's not possible.
Oh my God, is that why Baby Proof is your favorite Emily Giffen book?
Probably.
Isn't that your favorite? Yeah, well, because that's her fundamental question. Like when you're in a relationship and one person wants a kid and one can't, and she's always like, you can't, it's not something you can like split. It's not like you can be like, you can have half and all of it. No, like you're either in or not. And that is a huge issue between in a relationship.
It absolutely is. And again, it's not something that you can, it's not easily dealt with, right? It's not easily dealt with because there seems to be on the surface a clear winner and a clear loser. Like you either get the baby or you don't get the baby.
You don't. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, resentment is just not something is poison. It is absolute poison. And it's just something that I don't tolerate. Now, I don't always, I mean, my husband and I had this conversation for years. It's not to say it's like you have the conversation once. I can't process things once and then be done with them. You know, I kept processing it and my brother would have more kids and then that would bring the whole thing back up again. But the only way to stop resentment is to talk about it. And that was part of our relationship for a really long time. And it was a very uncomfortable and terrible time. And that's again where I'm like afraid. Okay, so maybe she thought she wanted, to terminate the pregnancy. Maybe she doesn't. Maybe she's not even sure. She says, I want it and I don't want it. And those are complicated, hard to reconcile feelings, but you just have to keep talking about it ad nauseum until you feel as good as you possibly can to do the next thing and keep going and then talk about it again when it comes up again.
And so far, at this point, we know they do say we talked. We're making the right decision here. We've talked about it for 10 days.
I know, but
we've
10
covered
days.
Every angle. No, no, meaning.
I laughed.
So at this
that.
Point, well, it's only been 10 days since they found out. So the point is, every day since they found out. Well, I mean, you have to decide. I mean, you can't take 10 months to figure. There's a limited
not
window.
On this one.
But what you're saying is now from this point forward.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Of course, but we're not there yet. But I'm just saying. We know that for the limited window they've had leading up to this, they are at least telling us that they talked about it ad nauseum. Now the question will be, though, how much do you now talk about it, the emotions and everything you're feeling after this happens?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of conversations you're talking about that you had.
That you have to have.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going down the drain.
Which they're probably not gonna have because they're going
is surprising to me given this couple. It's not surprising to me in the world. It is very surprising to me given this couple. And again, that's where I think she's just gonna choose to not share it. She's gonna not hide. She's gonna hide it from him, and that's
hide her pain.
Yeah, maybe it's not even as clear as pain. Maybe it's pain and joy, right? Mm-hmm. And so she's not gonna be able to express that.
Right. And so, like, to me, her telling him to leave the room and crying alone on that table and the panning out. See, that to me, I took as exactly what you're saying. They're not going to talk about this. They're disconnected. Yeah. She doesn't feel like she can show him her real pain. You, though, are saying, and I would not have thought of this. You're saying you're a person who might need that time for a little bit, but then you would come back. I don't think that's what
they're doing. Yeah, but not like right. It's not even right away. It doesn't. There is no time limit. If I need to cry every time alone or until I can cry in front of him, whenever that is, and to express what's really going on, then, I mean, that's all that is. That's just work. That's just communicating on some of the hardest things that there are. This is not like, hey, I was upset that you cut me off like basic communication. This is really deep. And
that's why I don't know why you keep saying for this couple. To me, this couple clearly is showing they can't communicate.
She is showing that she hides her emotions and doesn't know what she wants.
So when you say for this couple, you mean you're surprised about it for this couple, you keep saying. I think what you mean is because you're surprised because he seems so willing to engage in that, and she's
and she not. Does too. And when if she stops, then that will be on her.
But does she seem?
It seems so. You just said they talked for 10 days about whether they should do this.
But we didn't see those. I don't know.
Well, we saw the bedroom. You know, she said, "I'm not sure. What do you think?"
And where I can see. But even that, I felt like she wasn't really communicating
because she doesn't know. That's not a communication problem. That's a knowing problem. She doesn't know.
Yes.
But then that's her problem. She needs to take responsibility for that and figure it out and then communicate it.
That's why I'm saying, I don't know. Then why are you surprised at this couple? It's not going to work because she can't do that.
But it seems she can. And it seems she's going to stop.
I don't think it seems she can. I mean, her telling him to leave the room so she could cry alone.
Yeah, that's fine. I think that's totally acceptable and has nothing to do with him.
But I think, no, I know. But I'm saying that's further proof to me that she doesn't know how to show her feelings to him.
I don't know if it's her feelings. It's very raw. Right. She had literally just swallowed the pill to terminate her pregnancy. That's really raw.
I think a lot of people would think that you would want your husband there if he is your true
partner.
You know, and her sending him out of the room is a bad sign.
I agree. Now, a lot of people think that. I know that to not be true.
I know. Yeah. You know that from yourself personally, but I just think if we as viewers are supposed to take something from that, I think it's not. I think it's like, okay, wow, like she doesn't even want him to be part of what she's experiencing. So you kind of know this.
He can't be. It is her body. She swallowed a pill that will lead her to bleed and feel sick and all
they created together. I don't know.
But there's limitations. There's
of course, and he's acknowledging those, which is why he walked out. He did. He got it. But I just thought as the viewer that we were supposed to be like, as that ended, like, oh, shit. Yes, you know, like,
yeah, this was going I think so. And that's low direction. To me, that's low hanging fruit. That it is harder to, I mean, that's something I would have expected in another show. This one, I would expect them to have a million conversations about it.
Well, this seems maybe to be what they're doing. I mean, we're only,
all right. Well, after this conversation, I'm more intrigued to see how.
Okay.
I have to
there
say,
we go.
Because maybe they will do these things. I'm expressing my future forward thinking fears.
Mm-hmm. Like, please don't do this.
Yeah, because that is just the old trope with a woman playing the role of the midlife crisis man.
Right.
That's what I'm afraid of.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, well.
We'll see.
This has been Pop Fiction Women with Corinne and Kate.
If you enjoyed this show, please tell the complicated women in your life.
And the men who love them.
Yes, tell them to listen. And then to follow on Spotify or review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. And of course, share on social media.
Tag us with your favorite books, TV shows, and movies starring complicated women on Facebook and Instagram at Pop Fiction Women or on Twitter at Pop_Women.
For more coverage of the women you love, or to find out if you qualify as a complicated woman, go to popfictionwomen.com.
And keep it complicated.